You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Welcome to Unscripted, a special podcast series from ShoreScripts in collaboration with the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Unscripted with ShoreScripts is a 6-episode series discussing challenges facing patients and care providers and how technology is creating opportunities for change. This series will offer a variety of voices in specialty medications, different pharmacy conversations, and showcase how ShoreScripts is driving best-in-class solutions designed specifically to deliver operational efficiencies and, most important, the best patient care. ShoreScripts aims to keep the patient at the center of all that we do, working to ensure faster, more informed, more accurate, more reliable transfer of information among care management teams.
Despite implementation of health information technology targeting medication safety, ambulatory adverse drug events, known as ADEs, prompt over 4 million people to seek medical care and result in $8 billion in healthcare expenditures annually, we're here today with an interesting conversation surrounding the communications between prescribers and pharmacies, which are critical to ADE. The National Council for Prescription and Drug Programs, the NCPDP, script standard supports the functionality to send electronic prescription cancellations from electronic health records to pharmacies, known as CancelRx. This episode will present novel research and practical experience on CancelRx implementation from the perspective of two health systems, a large retail pharmacy and the NCPDP. My name is Todd Urey. I'm the founder of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, and I am on fire today. I'm so excited to be bringing this conversation together, brought to you by SureScripts. And the reason is because I've worked in technology in pharmacy in the long-term care sector since 2004, when I worked with a pharmacy management system dedicated to long-term care pharmacy. And the NCPDP had a work group called Work Group 14. And they really shine some amazing light and information on standardizations and being able to pass information back and forth. I'd like the guests of our panel today to introduce themselves, and we're going to kick off this conversation with an introduction from Charlie. Charlie, introduce yourself.
Yeah, my name is Charlie Altman, and as a program director for the NCPDP Foundation, my role is to ensure we meet our purpose by funding grants that support programs, projects, and people that drive quality healthcare through the use of standards-based HIT to improve outcomes. Previously, I had a long career in various leadership roles for the Target pharmacy chain, while also being a member of NCPDP, volunteering as a co-chair for work groups and leading task groups. I had several years on the NCPDP Board of Trustees, and then as the chair of the NCPDP Foundation Board. Founded in 1977, NCPDP is a non-for-profit, ANSI-accredited standards development organization with over 1,500 members, representing virtually every sector of the pharmacy industry, developing many industry standards, including the script standard for e-prescribing, which is named in the Medicaid Modernization Act. The NCPDP Foundation is a 501(c) nonprofit charitable organization established in December of 2012 to support proof of concept projects that drive quality healthcare through the use of standards-based HIT, including these CancelRx grant studies with Johns Hopkins and the University of Wisconsin, which we will be discussing today.
And I'd like Michelle to introduce yourself, and I'm biased. Pharmacists are my most favorite providers, so I'm so excited that you're here, Michelle.
Oh, that's so sweet, Todd. I'm pleased to be here. My name is Michelle Chewy. I'm a professor in the School of Pharmacy at the University of Wisconsin, and I also serve as the director of the Sandra Rega Research Center for Improved Medication Use, also at UW-Madison. I am a pharmacist and a health services researcher. The focus of my work is really applying human factors engineering approaches and utilizing a systems perspective to improve medication safety in the outpatient setting. And some of the work that I do is really focused on evaluating health IT and the functionalities that are intended to support medication safety, such as CancelRx. I'm pleased to be here.
Thank you so much. Dr. Samantha Pitts, thank you so much for being part of this.
Thank you for having me. So I'm Samantha Pitts. I'm an assistant professor in the Division of General Internal Medicine and core faculty of the Armstrong Institute for Patient Safety and Quality at Johns Hopkins. And my research focuses on improving safety and the delivery of evidence-based care in ambulatory settings, including the use of health information technology. I'm happy to talk about our work in CancelRx today.
Thank you. And Tolu, what a special opportunity having an e-prescribing manager from Walgreens with us.
Thank you very much, Todd. My name is Tolu Akinwale. I am a corporate manager for Walgreens. I'm also a pharmacist, and I have a responsibility for the e-prescribing business operations, which includes the delivery and processing of electronic prescriptions, clinical validation for appropriateness, regulatory compliance, standards development, and industry relationships as it pertains to the e-prescribing world. Walgreens is a healthcare destination for a significant portion of the U.S. population. I'm sure you're all very familiar with Walgreens. We have over 9,000 pharmacies within a five-mile radius of approximately 80% of the U.S. population. And we did implement the CancelRx functionality in 2018. Outside of Walgreens, I'm also a co-chair at NCPDP's Electronic Prescribing Workgroup, which develops the standards for e-prescribing transactions like CancelRx. So I'm very excited to be here, and thanks for having me today. Looking forward to the discussion.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited to have all of you here. This is an important topic. Technology has been in a rapid increase in usage, especially during this pandemic. We have seen telemedicine take off in ways that we've never seen it being utilized before. And we're finally getting patients used to talking with their physicians and their pharmacists and even their nurse practitioners through technology. So when I think of the standards that are being built, and exciting for me who understands pharmacy management technology, CancelRx is quite an exciting topic. So I'm going to start off with Charlie. What is the NCPDP standard for CancelRx, the solution at the center of the study that was recently performed?
Yeah, sure, Todd. So back in the day, there used to be something called paper, and doctors wrote prescriptions on a piece of paper and handed it to a patient to take to their pharmacy. Well, that's been mostly replaced by the NCPDP script standard for e-prescribing, which provides transmission of prescription information electronically between the prescriber and the pharmacy. And now this includes several different message types. You know, besides a new prescription, there could be requests for refills, a request for the pharmacy for changes in the prescription. There's fill statuses. There's a request to send and receive medication history on a patient. And then, of course, cancellation notifications, known as CancelRx. So CancelRx is a bidirectional transaction that is used to notify the pharmacy that a previously sent prescription should be canceled, no longer filled. The transaction, which originates in the pharmacy prescription system, then sends electronic message to the pharmacy asking them to discontinue the prescription of any refills or to cancel prescription that has never been dispensed. Now, the pharmacy receives this message in their system. It marks it as canceled and acknowledges to the prescriber that the message was received or possibly not received because it wasn't found at that pharmacy. Now, the purpose of this grant study is to show that replacing the need for the prescriber to pick up the phone and call the pharmacy to manually cancel the prescription, that an event occurred with a real-time cancel notification to not only improve provider workflow, but to improve patient safety by stopping unattended dispensing.
I think of CancelRx as having this potential to reduce medication dispensary, errors and things that that get double input, and the pharmacy management system software really sets up to improve medication safety. The results of this research is quite interesting. I wanted to ask Michelle, why is CancelRx important to the prescribing process?
Sure. So I think that when a prescriber, discontinues a medication or changes a medication, perhaps from one antihypertensive to a different antihypertensive, the goal, of course, is to discontinue the one that perhaps is not working well or has a side effect, or perhaps even a potentially serious adverse event might be pending or is actually happening. And that's the reason why the prescriber is discontinuing it and switching to a different drug. But from the pharmacy's perspective, when they get the new prescription for the new antihypertensive, there is no information necessarily that comes over to the pharmacy automatically that indicates the original prescription was discontinued. And it's not unreasonable for a pharmacist to assume that a patient might be on two antihypertensives rather than the new one, and may indeed dispense both prescriptions. And because in this new electronic prescribing format, the patient doesn't necessarily have a clear understanding of what's going on, quote, behind the scenes, the patient may not even realize that the initial one was discontinued. And it's not unrealistic for the patient to just ask the pharmacist, fill all of my scripts, not recognizing that one was discontinued. So the potential for error, I think, is great. And I think that, my colleagues that are here with me today recognize that, and that that's the reason why this work is so important to highlight.
Samantha, I think of the electronic health record as where this all starts. So can you take us through maybe an example that you've uncovered through your studies in the prescribing process and how CancelRx is important to that process?
Absolutely. Well, as echoing Michelle, having an accurate medication list is so critical for patient safety, both for prescribers and pharmacies, as well as for patients. So as a prescriber, I spend a lot of time trying to make that accurate in the electronic health record for myself and others who touch that patient's record and prescribe for that patient. And so as a prescriber, when I make changes to those patients' medications, I know and understand that pharmacies need to have this information for safe dispensing, as well as for counseling of patients around those changes. And as has been said, without this communication, patients can receive incorrect medications or doses and directions, leading to overtreatment, undertreatment, and adverse drug reactions. So we know in primary care where I practice, I'm often changing doses of medication, titrating up antihypertensives or diabetes medications, which are very frequently associated with adverse events if taken incorrectly. So I think those are some good examples of where they change often. And without communication, we're really relying on the patients to be able to communicate what the appropriate dose is or drug. And as Michelle highlighted, some patients are not able to do that, and putting that responsibility solely on the patient seems like it's not ideal, that we need to communicate directly and coordinate care. And as Charlie mentioned, we know this communication doesn't happen as often as it should, as it's difficult and time consuming to make phone calls, and it's not always clear who should be calling. And that's where the functionality like CancelRx is needed.
I'm glad you pointed that out, Samantha, and it makes me think of volume, and volume really gives us an opportunity to break something so that we can ensure that when we start using it, even at a larger level, when the masses take over, that it works as intended, as designed. This brings me to Tolu. 9,000 pharmacies throughout the country. If each of those 9,000 pharmacies did 300 prescriptions a day, that's 2.7 million prescriptions a day. So I can't think of a better organization to really give some feedback. Why is it important for pharmacies to have this functionality? You know, how can CancerRx impact safety and minimize risks?
Sure, Todd. There are many reasons why a pharmacy should have this functionality. And I think it's very important that you mention that volume and the diversity of the transactions that flow through the network into the pharmacy. First, I would say let's start with the continued industry focus on achieving true interoperability in our care delivery models. Increasingly, we know that fragmented care and responsibility across settings can systematically introduce new risks, errors, and ultimately harm to the patient. Thus, there's a need for enhanced interoperability and communication. CancerRx is a means of communication between care providers. Just as a prescriber can send an electronic prescription that arrives in the pharmacy within seconds, it is important to have a mechanism to communicate with the pharmacy to stop the dispensing of that medication if there is an identified need to do so. There are instances, for example, where a CancerRx is received and processed even before the pharmacy team member is able to complete data entry. This is very helpful in cases where a prescriber maybe discovered an error immediately after sending an electronic prescription. So CancerRx allows the pharmacy to react fairly quickly in these scenarios before it makes it to the patient. The timeliness of the delivery of the CancerRx transaction is unmatched by any other communication method. You also have scenarios, and I'll add on to some of what Michelle and my other colleagues have said earlier. You also have scenarios where a care provider may wish to discontinue medications following a MedRec review. And upon completion of that review, the provider is able to send a CancerRx request to the pharmacy to ensure that inappropriate prescriptions can no longer be dispensed by the pharmacy. My colleagues in practice are familiar with the scenario where a patient calls in for a refill of a prescription and they enter an old prescription number from an old bottle that may still be active, but that may not necessarily be their current dose. Granted, we may be able to detect some of that through a clinical review in some cases, but we know that it's not always black and white, as Michelle explained earlier. So CancerRx provides that opportunity to ensure that the old prescription is inactivated and can no longer be dispensed. Another important reason has to do with the issue of opioids and other controlled substances. This has been a major public health issue, and one of the root causes has to do with prescriptions that may be given after surgery. And let's say the patient is able to manage the pain with ibuprofen or some other non-controlled medication. They may not actually need to ever pick up that controlled substance prescription. So by implementing CancerRx, pharmacies are able to support the effort to get rid of unnecessary controlled substance prescriptions that may linger in a patient's profile. When you put all of these together, it is evident in my view that CancerRx provides the alignment of a patient's prescription information across care provider systems. It provides a mechanism to stop error prescriptions and improves our collective ability to ensure that the patients are taking the appropriate medication. That, to me, is the main impact from a patient safety perspective.
I'd like to put in the show notes something that is out and it's been published. The Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, the AHRQ, has a study titled CancerRx, a Health IT Tool to Decrease Medication Discrepancies in the Outpatient Setting. And I want to hear from Michelle and Samantha because you actually partook and helped to put together the two separate studies about the University of Wisconsin and Johns Hopkins implementation of this system, CancelRx. What did you find with that study?
Sure. So thanks for pointing out that AHRQ grant. We feel very fortunate to have been funded by AHRQ on that project. So what we did was we partnered with UW Health, which is an integrated healthcare system in the upper Midwest, large healthcare system, very similar to the size of Johns Hopkins. UW Health made a decision to implement CancelRx health system-wide in sort of a big bang format. They were just going to turn it on for their entire health system in October of 2017. And we were fortunate enough to partner with them to measure the impact of CancelRx on reducing medication discrepancies. So what we were doing was we were trying to look at the proportion of prescriptions that were discontinued in their primary care outpatient clinic setting and were also discontinued in their UW Health health system pharmacies as well. So we just looked at health system pharmacies within UW Health. And if they were discontinued, both in the clinic setting and in the pharmacy setting, and we looked at that 12 months pre-CancelRx go live and then 12 months post-CancelRx go live. And what we found was that pre-CancelRx go live, about 35% of prescriptions were discontinued, that were discontinued in the clinic setting were also deactivated or discontinued in the pharmacy. So about a third of prescriptions. And how can we explain that? Well, UW Health had a policy where anytime a prescription was discontinued in the clinic setting, the MA pool received an in-basket message to call the pharmacy to let them know that the prescription was discontinued. Well, you can imagine how time-consuming that was. MAs are very busy doing many tasks and requirements, and this was something that was low priority and something they had very limited training on how to do. So as a result, some of those prescriptions in the pharmacy were indeed discontinued, either because the MAs were communicating that or perhaps patients were communicating that. Post-CancelRx go live, the proportion of successful discontinuations jumped drastically to 93%. So indeed, what we found was that CancelRx, by automating the system of sending these messages to UW Health pharmacies, and automating the system without needing an MA to call, and for a pharmacy to actually locate the prescription and deactivate it, that this that CancelRx automated the process, and indeed 93% of those prescriptions ended up being discontinued. So that is a success story. The other success story is that the amount of time it took to discontinue those medications also drastically decreased. Pre-CancelRx go live, it took approximately 12 hours to discontinue a prescription, either again because the MA called or perhaps the patient communicated that to the pharmacy. After CancelRx go live, it essentially went to instantaneous zero time for the discontinuation to take place. So what that means is that that 12 hours is actually very meaningful. And I'm going to let Tolu talk a little bit about that, how, as he mentioned before, that you know, that 12 hours is very impactful when potentially a prescriber might prescribe something unintentionally in error and wanting to, you know, call that prescription back. That length of time can be very important for that. The other thing, and Tolu sort of brought this up as well, as, you know, in 2017, the opioid crisis was in full swing. There was a lot of information about it in the lay literature and a lot of policy that was focused on that. So we also drilled down and looked at the percent of successful discontinuations between non-controlled and controlled meds. And what we found as well was that actually the proportion of successful medication discontinuations of controlled substances actually was greater than that of non-controlled substances. So that illustrates that following CancelRx implementation, that CancelRx actually did a good job of reducing the potential for refills of controlled substances, addressing, again, a major public health crisis. Now, 93% is not 100%. We thought that it would actually, you know, sort of work behind the scenes. We would turn on CancellerX and miraculously all of these medications that were discontinued in the clinic would be discontinued in the pharmacy as well. And we uncovered a number of clinic socio-technical vulnerabilities associated with this. We know that the EHR is complex. It's duplicative in many areas. There were some errors from MAs and physicians in terms of selecting a discontinuation reason in the EHR. And of course, there was some ambiguity about which tasks clinic staff should be doing, whether or not MAs or nurses or physicians ultimately should be discontinuing those medications. We also found some pharmacy vulnerabilities as well, and I'm going to let Tolu talk about that. So I guess the take-home message here is that CancellerX indeed was a fantastic functionality that replaced what was something that was time-consuming and heavily a heavy workload task in the clinic setting. And again, I'll let Tolu talk about the pharmacy side of that.
Well, I guess I could just go ahead and give you some of the impact that we've seen on the Walgreens side. And I would say that the impact has been positive. And while they are still growing pains with industry implementation that we're all working on collaboratively, I wouldn't want to go back to a pre-CancellerX world, to be honest. First of all, you know, there's the benefit of a cleaner medication profile, which is better aligned with how the patient is actually taking their medication and easier to evaluate for non-adherence and other treatment opportunities. In terms of efficiencies, it's been a bit of a mixed experience. We have an automated process where our fulfillment system can actually process a cancellation request that is properly identified with limited to no human intervention. This is only possible if all the data elements that are necessary are included on the request and certain conditions are met based on our internal processes. On one hand, there are more cancellations of inappropriate prescriptions and fewer phone calls, which, as Michelle alluded to, is great. But on the other hand, our pharmacists are also getting inundated with having to manually process incomplete requests, as well as, in some cases, inappropriate or invalid cancel requests. An example of that may be with prescriptions that are maybe have reached the end of life anyway, or completely exhausted. So it doesn't really serve much purpose getting a cancellation request for those type of prescriptions. In some way, it almost feels like we made it easy on the prescriber side to request a cancellation, but the experience sometimes feels like it's harder on the pharmacy side when the information is incomplete and when we get unnecessary requests. So I'll just share an anecdote with you. Like, with one of our low volume pharmacies, on the very first day that we implemented, they actually reported receiving over 50 cancellation requests. This is a very low volume location. So, which seemed really unreal. And when we dug into it, we found a lot of some of what I just described earlier. So my ask of my colleagues on the prescriber and the EHR side is, as we work through this together as an industry, we continue to ensure that there are safeguards in place to minimize those unnecessary cancellation requests. And this could include, you know, training, UI design, clinical decision logic, and whatnot. I would even emphasize that the cancellation of a prescription can be a clinical decision, and that should be made by, or at least made apparent to, a clinician, similar to how you would approve a refill request. Whether you're starting a therapy or you're stopping the therapy, it is a clinical decision in my view. Another factor that would help, I would say, is making sure that the necessary trace elements are included. And I know I'm getting into some of the technical speak here, Well, there are indicators embedded within the cancer directs request by the EMR vendor that helps the receiving system identify, match, and resolve these requests easily. So one thing that Michelle alluded to earlier that I can speak to in terms of how we designed on the Walgreens side is that we have, as I said before, we have an automated process that can handle it if all the pieces are in place. And the CancelRx transaction has a very important feature that you don't get in, through other, you may not get through other methods of communication, which is the CancelRx response. I think this is a great benefit to prescribers because in our case, our averages, we typically average less than 5 seconds from the time that we receive a request. If it's identified automatically by the system, we're able to respond within less than 5 seconds, which is near real time in my view. And the prescriber is able to understand right away that their request has been resolved. If you recall, prior to CancelRx, what we would see are electronic prescriptions that come in for a drug A and information in the notes field that says to cancel the drug B. That's a one-way communication. And I think that leaves a gap on the prescriber side. It doesn't allow them confirmation to know that their request has been completed. So ultimately, all of this, you know, results in a better pharmacist-prescriber relationship, as well as the benefit to the patient. And besides the anecdotal feedback about the satisfaction levels from our frontline pharmacists during implementation, I've actually heard this firsthand from prescribers at our various industry meetings as well.
Samantha, and following up with what Michelle was saying, can you give us additional insights into CancelRx with regards to workflow and what you've experienced?
Great, thank you. At Johns Hopkins, we took a little bit of a different approach and we had a really staged approach to implementation. First, implementing the functionality in a test environment, following with a proactive risk assessment to examine how CancelRx would fit into those existing workflows, as you've mentioned. And then pilot implementation prior to that large scale rollout. So we really had the opportunity in testing before going live to connect our test EHR environment through SureScripts to the test version of our pharmacy software management, which allowed us to understand how the CancelRx functionality would be expected to perform in our system. And then through the proactive risk assessment, which is a structured method to identify vulnerabilities in a system or process, we confirmed that we really wanted to implement the CancelRx functionality because we anticipated it would reduce the risk of medication errors. However, we did also identify some potential risks in CancelRx implementation, which then helped us make decisions about implementation in our health system. For example, we identified that it was difficult for providers to identify if a CancelRx was sent and then the outcome of that CancelRx at the pharmacy. So that helped us be informed in the development of materials for providers like a tip sheet about the functionality. And then we identified the potential for accidental cancellation of a medication with duplicates in the medication list. For example, providers may accidentally select the active prescription and send a canceled transaction of that prescription to the pharmacy. So as a result of that, we elected to not send a CancelRx transaction if the prescriber selected that a duplicate prescription was the reason for that discontinuation. So when we had made those decisions about implementation, we implemented CancelRx in a single practice in pharmacy. And in evaluating this implementation, we were really interested in the impact on that dispensing of medications after discontinuation in the EHR. So in our pilot, we were able to look at the time that it was discontinued in the EHR and compare that to that in the pharmacy management software to identify those that were dispensed after discontinuation. And then further, we went into the charts to confirm that those medications were intended to be discontinued by the prescribers. So in our pilot, cancel implementation really eliminated the sale of e-prescribed medications that had been discontinued in the EHR. So prior to CancelRx, approximately 10% of prescriptions were actually dispensed after that discontinuation in the EHR, and none were following CancelRx implementation. However, when we went in and looked at the records, it wasn't always clear that those medications were intended to be discontinued. So we did find 15 that appeared to have been dispensed after discontinuation, intended discontinuation in our pilot, or about 3.8% of our sample before CancelRx, and none after CancelRx implementation. However, we did find also a small percentage that appeared to have been unintentionally canceled. So we think that it's clearly preventing unintended dispensing. There are some things we want to look at and examine further how to prevent those inadvertent cancellations. So we're currently doing further work to examine the impact of CancelRx on this dispensing after discontinuation in a larger sample at our institution, and also to understand the information needed by providers and pharmacy staff to optimize the use of CancelRx. So two early things we've seen are that despite our now system-wide implementation, our prescribers still don't always understand the functionality and how the transaction works. So because the transaction is so fast and immediate, that improving the visible feedback in the EHR in terms of implementing how CancelRx is implemented in the EHR would potentially help our providers understand how CancelRx works and may reduce any inadvertent cancellations. In addition, we've seen that our pharmacists do seek additional information within Epic because they have that access. So having additional information on the intent of prescriber when discontinuing medication would likely be of help, and that is going to be an added element in the next standard. So we're really excited to continue this work and further look at the impact of CancelRx in a bigger sample.
So I understand technology implementation, it's never easy. You have to sometimes change workflows. You have to teach staff how to utilize a function a little bit differently. Disruption to a day-to-day process for our technicians and pharmacists, the physicians prescribing. It's a complex issue. It's a complex situation. So when I think of CancelRx as new functionality that brings a tremendous amount of safety to the life cycle of prescription and medication therapy. Charlie, where is the industry today in implementing CancelRx? And how does the NCPDP support adoption?
Yeah, great question. Just yesterday, I reached out to SureScripts and got updated information on industry adoption. So when the foundation was looking at doing this grant study 2.5 years ago, there were a million of these transactions a month flowing through the SureScripts network. Today, there's 8.7 million. And 2.5 years ago, the pharmacy adoption rate was 25%. Today, 84% of the pharmacies are certified and 79% are actually accepting the CancelRx message. And 2.5 years ago, the prescriber adoption rate was 20%. Today, 63% are certified, but yet only 29% are actually sending CancelRx messages. So obviously, there's still a significant opportunity for prescribers to either update their systems for the CancelRx message and or to enable CancelRx functionality to reduce these unintended medication dispensing. The way NCPDP supports adoption of CancelRx are through task groups. Task groups are held throughout the year via telephone calls, Zoom calls. And any interested party can help work on the future e-prescribing enhancements, including CancelRx. And largely because of these two grant studies, there has been several enhancements to the next version of CancelRx, which includes updated to best practices guide, which includes guidance from the study to help future enhancers, implementers. And also we've added the ability to send cancel reasons to the pharmacies. You know, today they'll get a cancellation, but not knowing why. Well, in the future, they'll be able to get the reasons why, to be able to add clinical information, to be able to pass on important conversations with the patients, why they need to stop their medications. It will also include prior dispensing notification information prescribers, and ability to pass on to pharmacies allergy or adverse events. So again, anyone can participate in these NCPDP task group calls, include one of the many e-prescribing related task groups. All you have to do is go on to ncpdp.org and click on the task group tab.
I think one other thing that I would like to add also that's coming for that to Charlie's commentary is around being able to identify where that cancellation request is for a specific prescription or it's for an entire therapy. That's a gap that exists today, but we're working at the industry level to make sure that prescribers are able to communicate that type of intent in their cancellation requests. So just wanted to throw that in there as well. So I'm really excited about this work that's happening at the NCPDP. And, to second Charlie's comments, I really do encourage listeners to look at joining the NCPDP collaborative space so that their voice can be heard.
Well, I want to thank our guests, Tolu, Samantha, Michelle, and Charlie, for the insightful information that you brought to this conversation and podcast. This is the entire purpose of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, is to bring this kind of content into audio form so that our pharmacists, our technicians, our administrators and operators out there that are running pharmacies in all different facets, community, specialty, long-term care, compounding, that they understand CancelRx. We're gonna have some show notes and some links. I also want to give a shout out to SureScripts for putting this part of our series together. You guys are an absolute incredible organization to be working with. But once again, thank you so much to our guests in panel today and participating.
Thank you for listening to Unscripted, a podcast series from SureScripts. For more information about how SureScripts can help your organization, please visit us at surescripts.com.